です。いくつもの時代、僕らは巡り会えた。呼び合うように、力は無限大。どこまででも愛に行くよ。
Welcome to Podigis episode 503.5, Treading Over Marukimon Feedback.
Marukimon Part 1 Feedback.
Podigis is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I have the crest of guilt over there being a mid-season hiatus again.
I'm Ashley, and I have the crest of beating Jeff up because Jeff sucks.
Wow, that's such a blunt. So let's dive into some announcements. First off, the mid-season hiatus is, I don't even know if it needs to be announced.
It's like we got 13 episodes into it.
I guess so. It feels like it is, because it's like, I think the season plan is for there to be 508 is the last one. So it's like got through 3/8, which is almost half. Anyway, yeah, so all I can say about that is sorry. And I think the crushing weight of trying to edit the episodes in the normal with my current editing process weekly was too much to bear. And anyway, reconfigured things and should be better going forward. And I guess to elaborate on what that means, our future episode schedule, we're going to be, instead of trying to aim getting Data Squad episodes out weekly, there didn't seem to be much benefit
Jeffrey,
in that.
Jeffrey, nobody believes any words you're about to say right now, so don't say them.
It's much more manageable. Data Squad episodes are going to come out every other Monday, and then we're going to have feedback episodes for, so basically, episode 504 is coming out on Monday, and this episode 503.5 is coming out the Friday before that. And that's the pattern I want to keep up for the rest of them. So new episode on Monday and the feedback episode for the previous episode, the Friday before that. And then in the off weeks between the main episodes every other Monday, we have some stuff planned. We record about the tri-stage play, and that's going to be coming out the week after 504. Ashley's just shaking her head like,
because this is ridiculous and not going to happen.
It is. The bigger question is, like, we have goals and I have goals and aspirations to do other things in other off weeks, but I don't know. That's the thing that I think. I'm promising the Data Squad every other week, but I'm not so hot. I'm promising filling in every other gap week. I'd like to with other stuff. I mean, we have more try episodes to, like, we need to do the DigiNews episodes with chapter 3, 4, 5. We haven't really covered the dub of Tri Chapter 3, which is already out. There's going to be 4, was just in theaters. We didn't get to see in theaters. So all that kind of stuff that is potential for episodes. Hacker's Memory has been out for a couple weeks, and like to have some kind of review of that once I've finished it, but Ashley hasn't even started playing it yet. So I don't know what we can do for that.
Jeff's life is an obvious mess. Mine is more of a less obvious mess.
I don't see that's relevant, but it's true. And also Q&A episodes. I think that's one thing I want to do going forward is pull out, instead of trying to squeeze Q&A into these feedback episodes, I think that would make a lot more sense to just be their own episodes. So anyway, that's all kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm just going to say anyway over and over again.
Anyway.
I'm good at segues. Totally. There's also a Tri Chapter 6 PV. I think it came out in December, so we're way late on the news on that. We'll have a link in the show notes to it if you want to watch it, if you haven't heard about it already in the 3 months since then, 2.5, whatever. Do you have thoughts? This isn't a full PV reaction. We just figured we'd say, like, we have a couple, like, what we're feeling about Tri right now. No thoughts?
Tri just needs to end.
This sounds like the line from Star Wars. Like,
what?
The Jedi need to end.
The Jedi need to end.
Digimon Tri needs to end.
It does.
It'll.
Today, my coworker told me, he was like, I saw that there's a new Digimon movie coming out. I'm like, yes, but it's a movie that, like, is the continuation of a series that's been going on since 2015. So. I'm not that hype about it.
There's also, yeah, Chapter 4. Like, I don't know if we have time to go into why we didn't see it in theaters, but we're busy, and I had already seen it multiple times, including in Japan. Also, my coworker.
Oh, it's Chapter 4. You said 3. Chapter 4 is much worse than 3.
Chapter 3 wasn't in theater. Chapter 3 we haven't covered, and we do want to cover because it's actually good. We didn't cover the dopamine.
I see.
Chapter 4, though, was the one that was in theaters recently.
What? And they were separate thoughts.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, this trailer, this PV, I don't know. I didn't really have any thoughts when it came out. Probably why hasn't come up on the podcast already. I didn't feel urged to do an episode about it. It's a really short one. I think the first PVs are usually pretty short, and the second ones are more comprehensive. And there's probably a second one going to drop at any minute now, any day now.
Right now.
Yeah. That could be another off-week episode. Anyway, I don't know. The only thing that's really shaping up in this one is that, like, it's clear that Ordeen Mon, which should have been obvious in the last one, that Ordeen Mon is going to be the big threat of this last climactic movie. And I don't know, that I find that now in some ways kind of exciting that it's like Gatomon or Tailmon is involved in being the big bad of this series. I don't know, whatever. We'll see what happens when we get to it. And I don't know. There's not really much from this. Because it's like, I feel like on one hand, this teaser is showing you things. It's like, oh my God, there really are big consequences from the last movie. And on the other hand, it's like showing you images that are like, no, there really aren't. I don't know how much. Everyone's already watched the PV. Like, it's showing like Yamato and the goggles and like talking. I forget what
they said. We already know these things.
No. But I'm saying like, it's the showing Yamato and the goggles. I feel like it's supposed to be saying that they're moving on from Taichi and like, maybe he's actually dead, but then they show Yamato holding a digivice and Taichi holding a digivice. I mean, I guess it's not 100%, but it's like the two skin tones reminded me most of that. And that could be metaphorical, might not be literal, but I doubt they're going to retcon everything and be like, oh, he actually died. So whatever.
Taichi's totally dead, y'all.
You know what? Speculating on this PV reminds me of like data model overfitting. Like, you have a couple data points and you make this big elaborate model to fit these couple data points, but it's like, that doesn't actually, once you see more of the picture, it's like, well, that did nothing because all you hyperfitted for. Anyway, we're going to move on from that and talk about follow-up from episode 503. It's been so long since we did 503 that I've kind of forgotten about what we talked about.
I have no idea. I barely remember what episodes it covers.
Well, I remember that, but we'll be better in the groove once we're actually back to recording feedback episodes.
No, just Kenan's introduction and Barukimon, right?
Yeah. So I remember these episodes because I went back and got GIFs and posted things on Twitter and stuff for these episodes more recently, but I don't remember what we said about them. In future episodes, when we're more in sync with the release schedule, we'll hopefully not be so rusty.
Remember all the empty promises Jeff has made you?
So many. All I'm saying is we're going to be less rusty. You can't prove or deny that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is follow up things that I wanted to mention that we didn't get to talk about in the episode. We didn't talk about how Lilamon is the only ultimate. I mean, there's only three, but Rise Greymon has a CGI evolution, 3D CGI evolution, and Makagamon does, and Lilamon doesn't.
We didn't talk about that.
No,
it feels familiar.
We didn't talk about it. I wrote down that we didn't talk about it, so I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about it.
Maybe we talk about it in 504 then. I don't think so.
Maybe? No. I don't know. We're all a mess.
This just feels like something that we've had a discussion about. Maybe I'm just confusing. We
might be talking about the mega evolutions, but those are all CGI.
No, I think we've had previous discussions about how things with metal on them in like Tamers or something.
This does sound really from. We are just having deja vu now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe
we have to talk about this.
CGI animation. But
you know what's an entertaining podcast? Listening to people talk about how they talked about it on our previous podcast.
We talked about other things.
Okay. Something I definitely remember we talked about in 503 was about your frustration with every danger in Digimon, every mortal danger in Digimon being about trucks running over people.
Yeah.
And like, Andrew, I thought, made an offhand joke to like, oh, truck coon, whatever. And I thought he was like, oh, ha, Andrew's like personifying the truck, whatever, haha. But truck coon is like a thing, it's like a meme that
people. Yeah, I know.
Did you know the time?
I don't think I knew it at the time. I think that's what introduced me to it. And then I was like, this is amazing and I love it. Now I love everything.
I think the Know Your Meme article says that people also refer to Truck-kun as Truck-san, Truck-sama,
Truck-chan,
Truck-senpai, Truck-tan. Oh boy.
I mean, I don't think this forgives the overuse of, like...
No, it doesn't forgive it.
People in Japan apparently just get run over by delivery trucks all the time, but...
Doesn't forgive it. I mean, does it make you a little bit less annoyed by it, maybe?
It makes me laugh, for sure.
Yeah, the fact that it's, like, so overused that, like, everyone else is aware of it, and it's not just a Digimon thing, apparently, makes it a little bit more...
Right.
Little
I think I can forgive it that it's a cross series. It happens once, but the fact that it happens repeatedly in Digimon, I was like, no, bro.
Yeah. It's one of the things I wrote down. This is something I realized later when I was making, like, screenshots or posting things on social media, but, like, the image of Marukimon after he's taken down Biomon, mm-hmm. you have to think all the way back to Marukimon's introduction. This we recorded this so long ago.
Marukimon, it's fine.
But, like, they're trying to make him build up his threat level and how he's so much more powerful than them. Just the image of Biomon's egg in Marukimon's hand is so evocative. I don't know how much I can say about it. It's really great. We're going to have a link to it in the show notes.
He can't even crush it because it's so tiny. Yeah. If he just, like, wrapped his hand, it wouldn't even do anything.
I don't think that's how eggs work, sure. Yeah, just take a piece of caviar and just squeeze your hand and it'll just be fine. It won't burst or anything.
But it's so tiny, it wouldn't even, yeah, it would just, like, fall into a crevice. That's how a
piece of caviar it's not that tiny, actually. You take a piece of caviar, it's like caviar in our hands. Actually, I don't know what happens when you take it. What happens to caviar?
Caviar?
Yeah, caviar is fish eggs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you not know what this is on air, Ashley admitted she doesn't know what caviar is. but actually, when I'm thinking of what happened with caviar, I'm imagining, you know, like the boba tea when it had the little tiny bubbles, uh-huh. little boba, little tapioca bowls. That's what I'm imagining. We're like a little, or no, not, no, no. There's like the gel ones. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh,
that's what I'm imagining.
It's
not tapioca.
What is it?
They're like flavored. I don't know. Whatever. This is Digimon related.
Sakura flavored.
Sakura flavored? What? What is it?
I have Japan on my mind.
You're just saying random things. All right, and now we're going to move on to our weekly-ish question. In the notes, I still have written down as weekly-ish question. It's now the bi-weekly question. I removed the ish.
Jeffrey, it's the every 2 months question.
I can't deny that. Okay, but the question was, so these episodes we covered 13, 12 through 18, I think. Yeah, 12 through 18 were, no, yes.
12 through 18?
Were about,
sure.
In those episodes, there was Thomas's backstory, Yoshino's backstory, and Marcus's backstory wasn't in those episodes, but it's just been throughout. So we asked the question, who had the best backstory and why? And so going through these quickly, we didn't get many responses, but because it's been months since this episode came out, and it's a random question. But Digilissy on Tumblr said Toma, and then a smiley face, no explanation.
Just Toma.
On Twitter, friend of the show, Meishinjerman, at Ancient Irismon, said Masaru because it's relevant for the whole season. I mean, Yoshino's is ditched after her Digimon gets to perfect, and Toma's is only relevant for a few episodes.
Yeah. Is that why they named... No, because that's just a misspelling of Toma, what? Right?
No, Toma is ambiguous in Japanese. Like there are different. There are lots of different ways.
Is that why they named him Thomas, though? You just add an S on it?
I mean, yes, because they named him Thomas because Toma sounds like Thomas. It's the Toma obvious, like Thomas. English sounding name that you would pick. No. But Toma, yeah. So Toma, the way that May spelled Toma is Thoma. And I've also seen it written Touma, Thoma. Cause in Japanese, cause it's just written in katakana. Uh-huh. It's just written as Touma. It's written as a long syllable.
Yeah.
And so like, I've always thought it was just like OU, like most long syllables, but cause it's supposed to be like a non-Japanese name, like, who knows?
All right, this sounds garbage.
Anyway, that's not the point of this. Kari is my, so also on Twitter, Kari is my favorite. At Jackals31 said, Kari's backstory is my favorite. And Laffy face. And Laffy crying tear face.
Joy.
I mean, do they really have backstories in Data Squad? That's fair.
Sick burn.
That's fair. And then we also got a mysterious voicemail from, this voicemail is just titled The File on My Computer, which happened. It just appeared on my computer one day. It's just titled, 503-dark_davis_call.wave.
Yeah.
Let's see what it says.
Hey, everyone. My name is Dark Davis. I come from a parallel universe where everything is dark and depressing, especially me. The difference between me and regular Davis is I have dark highlights in my hair, and I wear a black leather jacket instead of Davis's traditional, like, flame leather jacket. Anyway, I'm going to answer the question or whatever. Which Data Squad character has the best backstory and why? Well, for me, it's got to be Thomas. Because the tragic and brutal way his mom passed away and the pain and anguish he feels, I can really relate to. It's like the problems of my mom. She says I can't have mac and cheese anymore because it's not real food. Man, world's so messed up sometimes. Really makes you think. Anyways, my friend Dark Vemon just showed up. He's the edgy and black version of the regular Vemon.
Hey, Davish, wanna put these bedsheets over our heads and act like ghosts?
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Well, see you later, Poddigious or whatever.
Okay, let's get these on.
Boo, a scary ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So because of our weird audio setup this time, which we're trying for the first time, we weren't able to capture our reactions while we were listening. So you may not have heard our laughter, because that was the first time I was hearing it. Normally I pre-screen them.
Oh, really?
But...
Wow.
That was fantastic.
Hey, Jeff, did you know mac and cheese isn't a real food?
I want
Is
fan
Dark Vemon a real
no.
Digimon?
No, I'm 90% sure.
But doubt yourself.
I want fan art of Dark Davis.
Dark Davis fan art. That's true. That'd
I mean,
be good.
If you Google Dark Vemon, you find people have done the obvious color palette swaps.
Yeah. Well, because
there is actually someone's done palette swaps of Dark Davis with the leather jacket.
Oh,
this is absurd.
Snaps.
Original fan art would be amazing though. Yeah, what else is there to say? Thomas, Dark Davis would like Thomas.
His
darkest and edgiest. We haven't even reached the latest arc that we recorded. 506 was the one that we were like, this is trying to be so dark and edgy.
Yeah, Belfamon.
The Belfamon stuff. This one isn't even touching that yet.
No, it just got Chuck-kun in it. Chuck-kun.
Don't try to make a theme song with Chuck-kun.
Oh, man.
Let's move on to feedback. With a couple minutes left, I'm trying to set a timer. I don't know how, like Ashley says, I don't live up to things that I set out to do. So who knows if we'll live up to this 30-minute timer. Anyway, so this is a comment on our episode 400 YouTube video, actually. So it's about Frontier. But so who knows? Maybe they'll eventually, I think they're probably going back to the archive or something. So maybe they'll get to this episode someday.
Poor Frontier.
So Dung Bui on YouTube said, love your podcast. I love Frontier. And I remembered trying to catch up on the episodes and trying to figure out its schedule and when to watch the new episodes. Because I think in this episode, we were talking about how it had a weird schedule and we didn't know when it was airing and stuff like that. Anyway, back then I was in middle school and I couldn't watch it because it aired around the time when I had to get in the car and go to school. Out of desperation, I asked my brother to record its audio for me. Yes, you heard me, the audio. We didn't have any TV recorder back then. So when I got home and listened to the episode's audio on our Walkman, it was like the kids back in the 1940s listening to their program via radio. I thought it was a pretty funny story. Deep?
It's not deep.
It's almost like listening to a podcast. I've tried watching anime. I tried studying Japanese by taking the audio of when we were covering Tamers, I guess. I would take the audio of Tamers and just listen to it in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very useful. I had no idea what was going on. Mostly because of the language gap, though.
Yeah.
I imagine even in English, though, it wouldn't have been very informative. But
I recorded the opening to Frontier on a cassette recorder and listen to it a lot. That was real cool.
That's a bonus episode we could do, or an off-week episode. I found when we were in the East Coast a couple weeks ago, back at our parents' places for the holidays, I found the cassette tape that I had as a kid where I recorded all the Digimon songs I could find so it's like awkwardly stitched together like from the TV, but it's not just one song. It was way before Frontier. I think it has maybe one Zero Two song in it, and it has like the Mimi song. Because
Mimi song was cool.
I think it even has the Ty and Joe attempts. Because I was like, I need to have everything on this tape.
Silly child.
So I recorded the audio on my phone just so I could release it as an episode.
At some point. You recorded it on a cassette tape from a TV to your phone. That's amazing.
That's probably the least lossy transition. Because, I mean, that captures the effect of listening to it on a stereo, which is how you would have. I couldn't find the cassette. Like, I had to play it back on my stereo, my CD stereo speaker. My parents. Yeah. what I wanted to find was the original cassette player that would have recorded it, but I couldn't find that in a way. It was somewhere buried in my parents' house.
Tragedy.
So back to stuff about Digimon Data Squad and episodes 503, because this is 503 is when we met Kenan. So Victor, friend of the show, Victor from used to be on Digimon Rewatch, said on Reddit, I love Jeff Nimoy to death, but I really think he should have dubbed Ikuto. So Ikuto is Kenan's Japanese name, obviously. He should have dubbed Ikuto as Simon. He would have pronounced it Simon, and it would have further solidified his upbringing as a Digimon. And
oh, yeah. I did see this comment at the time, and I was like, yeah, that would have been good.
Would have been great. I think my comment was like, this is perfect. This is a big shame.
Also, you almost pronounced your own name wrong. You said Geoff.
That didn't happen. Yes, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it did.
I think we had a couple comments too about the like absurdity of Kenan not realizing that. I don't think we actually commented this in the episode.
Why would he name him Kenan? Kenan's not like a super.
That's actually explained in later. It might be.
Really?
I think it's in the episodes where 504 that Frigimon hears Kenan's parents talking through the gate.
Mm.
They scream out for Kenan, and then she's like, okay, Kenan. Doesn't really follow that, like, that's how...
No, but, like...
Doesn't follow that she would understand enough that,
oh,
like,
no, that's... Oh, no, I just meant, like, why would Jeff Nimoy have picked the name Kenan?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know why they chose the name Ikuto. The only thing I think about Ikuto is that...
Well, I don't know what Ikuto means.
I mean, so I'm pretty sure it's written in... Let me double-check this.
Knowing that Kenan is not, like, exactly a well-known name...
Oh, Ikuto is actually written in kanji. I thought it was written in katakana. My theory, like both watching it now and when I was learning Japanese, was that Ikuto sounds grammatically like if I go, like Iku go and To is if. So like there's that moment when, oh, it's a future episode, so maybe I'm spoiling things, but there's a moment when they're deciding, Ikuto and Kenan are deciding to go back to the digital world. And he says like, if I go.
You just said Ikuto and Kenan.
Yeah, they're the same person. I'm not saying they're two different people. I'm not saying two different characters are doing something. I'm saying, anyway, so there's a moment where Ikuto says Ikuto, like, and I'm like, oh, maybe that's the moment. That's a silly thing to, also apparently the kanji in his name, I mean, the second one is just person, but the first one is cultural progress or perfume.
Perfume.
So his name either means cultural progress person or perfume person.
I'm pretty sure it means cultural progress
person. I'm pretty sure it means perfume person, actually.
I don't think so. Don't.
So that's why I chose the name Kenan, because it most evokes perfume person. Mm. I don't know why they come with Kenan. Probably just for the K. What kind of, I don't know what logic they go through.
I don't know.
I'm curious about that process.
Can we hit up Jeff Nimoy, why did you name him Kenan?
So next comment came from Tamer Theory. I think this was in our Slack. We've had it in this doc as feedback to bring up for a while. I can't remember exactly where it came from, but anyway. So this is what he said. In regards to Yoshi's fever dream, I'm going to try and word this as carefully as I can, since it's a common subject on the show, as is, but do you feel there's a double standard when it comes to writing female characters in action shows? For example, I felt disappointed that the previous top DATS agent, quote-unquote, was a shy pianist in her past. But at the same time, if they overcorrected and made her the best of the best, it seems like they'd be catering too much to female audiences, which is nonsense, of course, since men have John McClane, Rambo, The Expendables, Mad Max, and endless more. But as you guys said at the start of the season, Yoshi is more said to be a top DATS agent than shown to be a top DATS agent. What do you guys make of this double standard, if you notice it at all, and which female Digimon character is probably the best written? My vote goes to Rika. So what do you think, Ashley? I think part of it's just like, yes, definitely.
Yes, definitely. I've forgotten, like, Yoshi is so unimportant in the place that we are at now that I forgot that this was even, like, a...
Even at
contentious
this point. So, like with the last episodes we watched were, like, 38. So we're in the end of the show in our mindset. But even at this point, even in, like, around episode 15, I feel like she was still largely irrelevant. And
yeah, like, her backstory is weak.
So the idea that she was at some point lauded as being the top level DATS agent or the top DATS agent or whatever is, like, I forgot that was even a character detail. Like,
no, I remember it was a character detail. But now looking back at it, I'm like, because she was the only DATS agent? Like,
maybe. Maybe. I mean, they do allude to there being other branches of DATS. Like, they say that Thomas is from the Austrian branch.
Yeah, but I feel like they were just talking about that branch.
Yeah, it's also... The world building is not... The world... Okay, I like the world building of the show, but, like, it's basically only what is shown on screen. You go beyond what's shown on screen just a tiny bit, and you're like, nothing makes any sense.
Mm.
I hope this... Our cat licking himself is picked up on mic.
Yeah.
I don't actually hope that. But,
In terms of who is the best written female character... It's hard to say definitively that it's Rika. Like, I certainly like Rika the most.
Yeah, I think for both of us, Rika is our favorite.
I think Rika only works, though, as a, like, good, well-written female character in relation to there being Jerry, though. Like,
like if there weren't Jerry, you'd just be kind of like...
I think that would be overcorrecting for me.
I don't think that would be overcorrecting. But I think the problem with Rika, I think this came up in an episode of Pages, I don't remember which one, but that, like... When we and most of the fandom likes Rika, it tends to be because she's such a tomboy. Like that, we complain that like Digimon female characters fall into basically two different roles, either like girly girl or tomboy.
Yeah,
and like maybe the only exception that I can think of is Kari.
I guess.
Like she's neither of those. She is a different kind of weird, not great archetype of like Jesus.
Yeah, but she's like she's like a sacrifice archetype.
Yeah, and like a pure maiden kind of.
Yeah.
That's a different. It's not that common in Digimon, but it is a otherwise troubling archetype. So the fact that like Digimon either groups people into tomboy or girly girl, like. And the fact that the female character that most Digimon fans like the most being Rika aligns with being more manly, not manly, but, you know, like boyish and like,
yeah.
That is troubling. I think Ash raised that point that like, it's not great. Like we're like, oh yeah, Rika's so awesome. She's so well written. It's like, well, cause she's written to be the most like the guys and to be the most like, right. I'm one of the guys. And that's troubling too. But I think it's actually turned around, but like, I feel like nowadays everyone is very effusive with their praise for Mimi. And
I agree that it's turned around, but. Again, I just think the only way that I can definitively say that Rika would be, like, best female character is because Rika is also given moments with Jerry.
Right, yeah. So, I think the idea of, like, her just being a tomboy or, like, whatever is, or just being like the guys is a little bit subverted by showing sympathy towards Jerry and everything.
Yeah, and I think that Jerry is very clearly supposed to be the girlier girl, but... I think they work better.
No, I don't think Jerry's supposed to be the girl. I guess she also doesn't fall into much of an archetype. She's weird girl.
I think she's probably more in line with Kari, if I think about it. But
okay, yeah, in that sense, in terms of like being quote unquote sacrificed, like yeah.
Yeah.
But she's not. There are lots of, anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, and so there's also an anecdote that Tamer Theory lists, because Tamer Theory has been writing a Digimon comic, which is called Singularity, a Digimon fan comic, and there's a character named, a female character named Ayari, so this is what Tamer Theory wrote in. Having just released Singularity Volume 1, someone I showed it to said that I gave Ayari an interest in karate just to show she's a non-nonsense, strong, independent girl who don't need no man, when in truth, I was more looking for a quality she'd need to survive in the digital world alone with Candlemon. If David or Johnny, these are the other characters in their comic, if David or Johnny left and they had self-defense training, they wouldn't have blinked. So I think it's a good illustration of the double standard. I don't know who this person they showed the comic to that said this, but that like if a guy has a survival trait, it's like, oh yeah, of course they do. If a girl has it, then it's like, oh, what? You went out of your way to give them this trait. And it's like...
I mean, this is the problem with having only one or two female characters is that no matter what you do to them, it's then going to be like, you just did this to like break some sort of stereotype and you just fall into another one.
Yeah, but by having more, like in the initial adventure cast, having five dudes and two girls, like you just get so much more breadth of possible things for guys that like, there's no like... like it's just so much more natural. It feels more natural to be like, oh, well, a guy can be any one of these things, and it's not weird for them to. But if you had a girl character who is like Izzy, who had all the quirks of Izzy, you'd be like, oh, well, they're going out of the way to make this girl really quirky, whatever.
Yeah,
I think that happens when there's only one or two. Anyway,
instead with Mimi and Sora, they're just like, I'm gonna go base stereotypes, like basic play off each other of tomboy versus really girly girl.
And it's just like, and I think overall those are like subverted in interesting ways. They're not just as archetypes, but definitely in their introduction and everything. Like, and the dub emphasizes those more. Like, I think they're more nuanced in the Japanese version. The dub like it plays into those more. So, but no, I mean, we totally agree that double standard exists and it's frustrating. And I don't know what we can do about it. So I haven't just complained about it. And
I mean, it's never going to work again. Like. These seasons where it's like Zoe is the girl, Yoshi is the girl, it's just never gonna work out. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough because I mean, Yoshi's non-presence. I don't know. There's lots of other things going on there. And Atmon is a recent example of another season where there is only one main female character at a time, and people really like Eri a lot. And I don't know if that really does much to like. Even though people like Eri, I don't think it really dissuades most of our concerns because it still has, and you're like, but I mean, Atmon is a smaller core cast anyway. Actually, no, by the end, it's like five. It's like 20% female, which is like probably one of the lowest. Actually, that's not true because Frontier. Anyway, one of the lower ones. And so even though people like Eri, and I think I've seen lots of comments that are like, people find Eri to be, like, I saw this, like when Atmon was airing, someone was like, Eri's my favorite female character in the show. And I'm like, she's the only, you mean like of the one other character? Because there's only like one other female character in Atmon. And no, they meant like all of Digimon. Okay, and that's like, that's an interesting thing that like, I mean, I didn't find her that compelling more than any other Digimon female character, but.
I mean, that's fair, but my impression of Eri was still that she has a sort of like, not overbearing, but like very effusive personality.
I mean, I don't think she fits into the tomboy or girly girl or maiden sacrifice archetypes. But I don't know. I think these double standards still exist regardless of those stereotypes. Like, I don't know if it really combats a stereotype, if it really like
it's just like you can be those stereotypes. The thing about that also makes Rika stand out is that Rika, again, we've complained that it's like Rika is given a role. Like the things she does in the story make her seem like almost the actual main character over Takato. But she is, you know, she's not the main character. Whereas you never feel that with Zoe or Yoshi. You're like, yeah, you're just definitely not the main character.
Yeah, but anyway, everything has problems. XXX Mist XXX said in the comments, I like how very meta Yoshi's conflict was. It's a relatable. Oh, so I guess there's 2 points to this. They like how meta it is. And I think that's, you know, like because she's, you know, like she's upset about being the weakest of her siblings and then is the weakest of the Digi siblings.
Yeah, she should.
Yeah, she anyway. but then they follow up. It's a relatable issue, I'd argue, although it isn't necessarily executed well. And I think we totally agree about it being relatable. I think we've mentioned in the episode too, they're like, it's totally relatable. It's not, I don't think it's an issue that we can just shrug off and be like, that's stupid, that's silly, whatever. But it just, execution was like, just felt like whatever. It just like, especially compared to, this is actually a comment from Embermoto on this note too. So Embermoto said, so Yoshi's big problem was, I am not as talented as my sisters and therefore I am completely useless and I have nothing to offer. And once I said that, I was like, yeah, that is a big problem. But then Embermoto says, talk about first world problems. This isn't at all on par with Thomas's and Marx's family issues. And I guess that's fair. It isn't, you know, like, well, I don't know. I think on the one hand, I think being crippled by an inferiority complex for your entire life is a very serious issue. But I think when weighed against like, oh, your mom tragically died or like your dad's been missing for your whole life or whatever, you know, like, I don't know how you can, those aren't things you can compare apples to apples. And
yeah, it's just hard because one of those things is a personal issue and the other ones are kind of like external.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's a personal issue versus a like, your life has been subpar because of this external issue. But I feel like we've seen that like Marcus's life doesn't seem that subpar. Like it's not like, you know, it's like Marcus's family life missing a parent is reminds me like of like Cardcaptor Sakura. It's not like, you know, like she misses her mom and wishes her mom were there, but it's not like she has a bad family life because of it.
Yeah.
Like she still has like a loving family that like, I feel like the same for Marcus. Like he still seems to have a great family. He has to like take up the mantle of being the man or whatever. But like he doesn't seem like he's really like stressed out about it or upset about it, whatever. Thomas, on the other hand, though, is just full man pain about everything. So
you know, well, that's because his dad sucks.
Yeah,
there's and his sister is.
Yeah, your sister is Nunnally. yeah, I don't know. And I feel like Yoshino's conflict or frustration or whatever issue, her backstory should be so much more interesting because it is like, it reminds me of imposter syndrome. And I mean, we even talked in the episode, like Andrew, like it was Andrew was like, this is me. This is like exactly me, like having a sibling that surpassed me. And those are much more relatable issues. But it's just like in the way it's pulled off, the way it's in context, it's just like so blah, so unimportant. Yeah. So,
and I think the main issue that we had with it was that it didn't seem like Yoshi, you know, Yoshi's had a lot of years because she's the oldest.
Yeah.
To like not get over it, but to learn coping mechanisms, to learn ways to not let that come up in the future that don't seem to have come into play at all.
Like, I think this is another one of those instances where there's a divergence between truth and like what works in reality and what is narratively satisfying in fiction. Like, I think it's true that you'd have these psychological things from your childhood that would continually resurface, but narratively it is very undermining to be like, that's what defines her and that's what her biggest frustration is. And like, you know, like, yeah. So like, even though it reflects reality and is all this stuff, but it's like, okay, but in story, as a story, I feel like it just...
I'd actually really rather see Yoshi, just how Yoshi and Thomas had worked together, because if Thomas is supposed to be this ultimate genius boy, but she seemed to work fine with him, like Marcus is the problem in their threesome.
That's not true. I mean, we don't see that, like, her reflecting on this pianist backstory is caused by Marcus or anything. It's like mostly caused by her fever.
No, but I'm saying, like, teamwork wise, we are led to believe that the problem for her and for Thomas is the inclusion of Marcus.
I don't think her butting heads and getting to arguments with Marcus really actually reflects this backstory of feeling inferior and whatever. You know, like, I think it'd be very possible for them to be working as an excellent team together, her being subordinate to Thomas, and then to be like an excellent team, like A+ marks across the board, taking down every Digimon, but still feel an extreme inferiority complex. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it actually is related to butting heads with Marcus. Anyway, we should move on because we're behind schedule.
True, but...
Sirius Black Rogremon mentioned in the comments. And I feel like I think Sirius Black Rogremon has mostly commented in the fantasy draft. I don't know if you mentioned the name on the show. I just want to say that Sirius Black Rogremon is the best username ever. And I'm sad I never thought of it in like my several decades of being obsessed with both Sirius Black and Black Rogremon and having usernames based on both of them, but never thinking to combine them. Anyway,
That Sirius Black was Jewish, Jerry?
No. That's not true, Ashley. There was only one or more Jewish people in Hogwarts. There was
only one or more. All right.
J.K. Rowling is so brave to say there was a Jewish person.
No.
Anyway, that was sarcastic if people didn't get the nuance. Anyway, the first line of Sirius Black Rogremon's comment was, yay, 503 finally dropped. And this was like 2 months ago.
So,
I'm sorry.
Wait until 504 comes out, my friend.
And their comment is about how absurd it is that they, you know, try to climb down the buildings in the Gorge of Deception instead of just flying on the flying Digimon they have, like Sunflamon, just flying over the gorge.
I mean, this is always the problem in Digimon, isn't it?
Just don't use logic. Just don't think.
Just don't think about how they have flying Digimon.
No, just don't think. Just don't use logic. So I need to go through these quickly, but Embermoto had some comments about how Dats is being manipulative when they're trying to deal with Christy and like forcing her to join Dats, or they'll send Beomon away and then she'll never see him again. And what I wrote down on that was just like, Dats isn't good. I don't know. Like, it's in reflection, it's like I'm realizing that, like, I think the other thing that made me think of it is like, Samson's conclusion that it's okay to send Marcus and like incite this race war when like really they should be sending like someone who's capable of diplomacy. And not just fist fighting diplomacy, is like, and he does that because he assumes that like, oh, Marukuma actually wants to start a war and like wants to take over the world. And like coming to that conclusion is not good. And I feel like the show is not aware of how not good that is. And I wonder if on a similar level, this kind of like painting Dats as being so not rude, not mean, not even evil, just like abusive almost in the way they treat Christy and everything, but then not really like being condemning that. It's kind of like it happens and then other things happen and then it's kind of forgiven and it's not like shown to like it, we do. I think it's mainly like they show Dats doing things that are kind of shady and sketchy and bad, but then they're like, oh, but Samson's cool. And that's all they have to say about it.
Maybe. I also feel like it is trying to do a sort of, you know, government has problems. The government will do shady things. We all know the government is shady, but also you still need government. Like,
I guess so. There should be some accountability. And one trend I find frustrating in the media is like the idea. This is on my mind recently because I want to get Ashley to watch
what?
Captain America Civil War before we see Black Panther next weekend. I'm not sure if I can convince her. A theme in that is about the like government accountability versus like superheroes and like I don't want to spoil the movie for her, but like this idea that like, oh, we find superheroes like should be immune to law because they're great people, like that works in comic books and in narratives, but like
you're doing that philosophy. Marcus Damon.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, last comment I want to read from Remoto is just about how Thomas having a medical license at 14 years old is absurd. And so they go through the math and they're saying that if he's been at Dats for a year by the time he's 14, and then he would have had to go to 8 years of college, it means that Thomas would have had to start college classes at 5. And they also did research and said that the research they found was that Sho Yano was the youngest doctor they could find who got their license at 21 after starting college when they were 12. I did counter research and found... I found, this is according to Wikipedia, the Guinness Book of World Records youngest doctor is Balumur, I can't pronounce, I'm bad at pronouncing any names, Balumur, Balamurali Ambati, who apparently became the youngest doctor in 1995 at the age of 17. I think Wikipedia, though, lists age of 17 and 294 days.
Yeah, they're like almost 18.
But it's a sign of how young someone is to like list their days, too. But I guess maybe that's actually contentious. But maybe there was someone who became a doctor at 17 years and 300 days.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Possibly.
So those are all our feedback. Yeah, we're excited to be back. And
are we?
I am.
Okay, good for you. I have another podcast.
Wow. Send your comments about this episode to podedges.com/503.5. You can also send your thoughts to us on social media. Podedges is on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook at the obvious handle Podedges. We also have an email.
Why don't we have an Instagram yet, Jeffrey?
Oh, is that you want me to do more social media?
You love it so much.
I do like social media. Part of the paralysis in taking this long to come up these episodes is that I have been, like, for most of this time, working almost intensively on social media stuff.
Yeah, Jeff needs to stop.
Yeah, I do. Anyway.
Special thanks to Extra Animon for our new Season 5 Agumon artwork. And a quick shout-out to our Champion, Ultimate, and Mega supporters on Patreon. Diab Jomon, Joe Keto, Kailunamon, Sam Kruagamon, Andy Lusamon, David Graumon, and Marcus.
And stay tuned on Monday for the next Data Squad podcast covering episodes 13 through 19, a.k.a. Ashley Has Feelings About Marukimon.
Marukimon's the best.
Wait, those aren't the right numbers. That's what just came out.
I don't know what you've done, man.
I mean, it just came out, I mean, in December. Oh, I think it's 19 through 25. That's yeah. those numbers sound right. AKA Ashley Swings My Rookie Mon.
Okay.
And if you are going to believe Ashley and say that, if you're going to go along with Ashley in this and say that I can't be trusted at my word, this episode that I'm saying is going to come out on Monday has mostly been edited. So like there's a 99% chance it's actually going to come out on Monday.
I believe that this episode will come out on Monday. I believe nothing else. Though. nothing else is guaranteed.
Believe nothing except what I say. But then also, if you believe Ashley, don't believe that. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digimon.